crackers to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, hitting firewalled hoe. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. To CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAM, zip, six. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Hello, and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 176, inching ever closer to 200 or something. Today's date, December 5th, 2006. I'm Black Ratchet this evening. Well, actually, I'm Black Ratchet all the time, but this evening we have Faceman with us.
Hey, got my sweet tea going on.
Oh God!
Three Jesus. Times.
Let me guess. Dang. You're from South. You're from the South, aren't you?
Of course, Alabama.
Yeah, crazy. You and Droops and down on the Gulf
Pony
Coast
Boys
there. Pony Boys in Atlanta. Well,
yeah.
that's not really the Gulf Coast though.
Yeah, well.
I always say I'm no Droops was going to get pissed off if I say this, but I always forget whether or not he lives in Mississippi or Alabama, and I think he lives in Mississippi.
Yeah, I think it's Mississippi.
Yeah, I don't know.
Of course.
You're both in the armpit of America, please.
No, that's New England around Boston.
No, New Jersey. But anyway.
New-
Well, that's something. I'm not sure if anyone else calls it up here, but it calls it around this country. But you know, around here we call New Jersey the armpit of America because it's right underneath New York, and I guess it roughly looks
get
as an arm.
Emails from everybody in New Jersey flaming us.
Oh yeah, my college professor. He used to hate New York and New Jersey, which is actually ironic because he was from New York. But New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. And he always used to refer to them as the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut continuum.
Okay.
And if you ever got the lowest score on a test, he would attach a receipt from the New Jersey Turnpike to your. To your test. It was amusing. He called it the New Jersey Turnpike Award. Sadly enough, I never got it, which actually I guess kind of is a good thing, but it's disappointing at the same time.
It's just one of those things you want to get.
Yeah.
Like skydiving. Just one of those things you got to get.
I'm not going to jump out of a plane. No, thank you.
Yeah, well.
I'm not crazy.
Hey, I'm doing
well, it. I am crazy, but not crazy in that way. So, okay, I think everyone's probably actually going over here saying, who the hell's Faceman? So who the hell are you?
I am just a noob from Alabama.
Yeah, you're a noob from Alabama. So you've been on the forums?
I think I have one post on the forums. I hang out more in IRC, and I don't really have anything to talk about in the forums.
But you lurk. You lurk in IRC, too.
I lurk. Yeah. I listen to everything, and I'm knowledgeable. I like to learn, so...
And actually, I will point this out as a very good example. Faceman actually, how he got on the show was he sat down and he sent me a letter saying, geez, I have this really cool topic for you. Would you like to do it? And I said, well, type me up some notes. And he sent me this wonderful outline. And what is the topic for this evening? Won't we leave anyone in suspense?
The topic for this evening is wilderness survival.
Or survival skills and such like that. I think I'm going to attempt to kind of spread it out because survival skills is just not wilderness.
Yeah, and I want to include some evasion stuff, too. So if for any reason you go hacking into the wrong system and the cops come after you, you can go to the woods.
And go to the woods and hide out and make sure you drag around like a 12-volt battery for you so you can power your laptop and you'll be all set. But, yes, you know, people – I've been saying, you know, send me in your topic suggestions, and people have sent in some good topic suggestions, and I always say you go type up some notes and you can co-host, and Faceman is the example of that.
Yeah, and I'm like,
he's our guinea pig.
One to do it?
So I guess if this sucks, I'm not going to let anyone else on.
Well, hey. Well, the past three episodes, you've had somebody new on, right? popping a bunch of peanut cherries.
Yeah, I call them cherries. Actually, that's like the first comment I've ever actually really gotten a lot of comments on. Where I just called them cherries, and they're like, oh, man, you called them cherries. That's amazing. I was like, well. And I mean, yes, there's connotations there where it's, you know, more of a sexual thing. But, you know, I just picked it up from fighter pilot, because that's your slang for people who've never flown before. And, yeah. And you can tell why they call them that. But anyway, that's kind of term I was using. I wasn't trying to make any connotations there for people with dirty minds. But we won't give that any more discussion.
For the record, you weren't.
Yes.
But
I feel
really
like a congressman.
Thinking.
Yes, I'm a pervert. No. Actually, no, Strom's not here. We don't talk about sex anymore. Oh, yeah, I totally went there. Oh. So, yeah, so that's our topic this evening is survival skills of wilderness survival, and that's fun stuff. So buckle your seatbelts, or we're going to have a fun ride.
Right. For those of you that know absolutely nothing about wilderness,
which actually I think is a lot of people in our audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not insulting these people, because it's a lot of stuff that a lot of people don't know about.
Right, especially in a technology forum.
Mm-hmm. So that's about it. You want to go into email?
What about housekeeping?
I think that's about housekeeping. I don't think we have anything for housekeeping tonight.
Okay. What is housekeeping, anyways?
Radio@thinred.com. Our first email tonight is from Livin' Dead. And he writes, for the past year or so, I've been semi-interested in bots and botnets, looking over source, collecting source, tracking botnets every once in a while. And tracking botnets every once in a while. As far as commanding the nets go, most of what I've seen is that the botmaster will issue the command into the topic to either DDoS, scan spread, or do whatever it is that the botnet is being used for. Savant mentioned that a lot of bots don't use binaries to update the bot, and that most of the time that they use text files. Personally, I've seen the opposite. In the source that I've seen, several configurations have been hard-coded into the source, and the botmaster will just use the download and execute function of the bot to update it. Also, in regards to the number of exploits the bot has, a lot of the bots I've seen with multiple spreaders. From the sources I've seen, a lot of the different bots are just modifications of the bots other people have taken from the source. I'm totally pulling a Strom here and just like completely stumbling over his grammar, but nothing personal. From the sources I've seen, a lot of the different bots are just modifications of other bots, or people have taken from many. No, that just merge them in together into a Frankenstein type bot with bits and pieces of ones that put together. Okay. This is especially true for the spreaders that are included with different variations of the bots. A lot of time of the bot makers rip spreaders from other bots and modify them to work with the bot they are using or writing. Last, I've actually seen some bots using encryption as far as IRC networks go. I've recently seen a couple using SSL connections to the IRC networks, meaning that they are probably using SSL-only channels on the server, making it much more difficult to retrieve passwords, channels, and login information. Livin' Dead. And first of all, I think I'm going to apologize, Livin' Dead, for butchering his email. But really, I mean, people, I think part of the problem was when I copied and pasted this in, this was just one paragraph. But when I copied and pasted it, it just turned out to one line. So it was just like the sort of free-flowing giant paragraph I had. So
did I send it back to you?
No, it's fine. I'm good. I did stumble my way through it. But, you know, it was a good email. I will say that. It had a lot of information there. I've seen botnets that distribute new binaries to zombies. Like, for example, there's, I guess you could call it, you know, botnet version 1.0, and then the guy rips a couple of more spreaders out there and releases 1.1 so all the botnets can update, all the zombies can update in the botnet. But I've also seen text files for configuration zipped out on them. So I think you and Savant could be talking about related subjects, but technically apples and oranges, because there's the configuration side, and then there's the actual executable. But I think that's what Servant was talking about. I will have to give that episode another listen. Botnets are a lot of fun to track and monitor, but unless you're going to cross the line and do something illegal, and yes, it is illegal, because despite the fact that this, you know, computer has a horrible, nasty zombie on it, you are trespassing onto the system if you're issuing a command to it, and you're technically as guilty, in my opinion. I mean, yes, I think you're very much in the morally right if you decide to uninstall it, but I think, you know, some overzealous federal prosecutor will see your fingerprints all over it and go after you rather than the, you know, guy in Latvia. I mean, unless you really want to do something illegal, you can't take them out or shut them down or tell them to uninstall. But, you know, like I said, moral gray area, just we won't even touch that right here.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It would be great just to, like, sneak in and find a way of doing it and just, like, completely zip a botnet down, but it's the best you can do...
It's something that should be left to the government.
Yeah, well, it's theoretically, or a law enforcement agency. Well, the only thing that you really can do, and they have worked around this, or they do try to work around this, is attempt to eliminate the command and control channel. Mm-hmm. But that's a crapshoot, and especially if you have, like, some server in outer Siberia whose admin doesn't speak English and doesn't really care whether or not he's just running an IRC server. He doesn't care if it's command and control channel, but whatever. And yes, there's actually a lot of bots out there that are starting to use SSL for the exact reasons that Livendead specified, because they don't want to get monitored and be tracked. Another thing that I've actually started to see is, or I actually haven't started to see it. I don't have enough spare time to track them down, fortunately, despite it being actually kind of fun when I did do it, is I've started to read that they're starting to use HTTP service command and control, which is quite interesting and actually takes a lot of the fun out of the game. But I actually think IRC may be on the way out as command and control mechanism. But who knows? I'm just a noob.
That you are.
Yes, I am.
Yep.
Once
I heard the botnet episode, it got me thinking, you know, I really should learn to program so that I can write a bot.
Anyone can write a bot. I mean, I wrote a bot for the BinRep IRC channel that lots of people hated, but we won't get into that.
The tiny URL one?
Yeah, the tiny URL one. Oh, yeah, Cody,
yeah,
you have seen Hound Dog.
Yeah,
well, a lot of people
like
did. But a lot of people didn't. Bunch of people who were very vocal didn't like it, so it was just shelled away. And of course, I did get permission to bring it back, but by the time I decided to bring it back, they updated the Perl module I used and completely, you know, took out a bunch of commands that I needed. So I'm halfway through rewriting it, but yeah, it's not a priority.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, you know, if you have not a specific purpose in mind that you want to just do anything with the botnet, and you want a powerful botnet, and that you're not trying to make money off of it, and
mm-hmm.
you just programmed for, say, a year and made this perfect bot, you could do amazing things.
You could, and actually, sadly enough, that's what people actually do. And I think we kind of brushed that over onto the malware episode, that there's people out there who code this. Our Malloween special, I completely forgot about that. There's people out there who code the stuff, and there's suspicion that, you know, despite the fact that they have, like, given, like, Russian URLs and everything, that these people are stateside, and they sell them to resellers in Russia, and it's essentially they're the middleman who do the selling, because it's not illegal to program it over here, but it's illegal to sell. However, over in Russia, it's not illegal to sell it, so...
Mm-hmm.
I think actually I'm not going to say this out loud because I'm not sure if I'm allowed to drop this on air, but there's certain people out there who think certain programmers who for well-known bots are space stateside, and they're actually, you know, American people. But and honestly, it wouldn't surprise me at all, because the internet's all about taking down borders and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see, make a BinRev botnet, make it extremely powerful, and then sell it to the Israelis. Pay for everything BinRev ever needs to do.
What do you mean? Those Palestinians don't use computers? What are you, crazy? BinRev does not support programming a botnet or, you know, selling it to people, or making, you know, compromising computers, or underage drinking, or drug use, or any other stuff that you may want to try to associate with us.
But if the Mossad wants to contact...
No. We're just going to drop it all right now. We're going to go on to the next email. Our next email is from Paul T. Dear Stank, I've been meaning to email you guys about episode 170. I just haven't had the time. I can't remember if you talked about it, but I have a comment about the fishers that will send you emails about companies whose stock is projected to soar, so buy. Then sell the stock where near its apex. These guys are obviously damage investor confidence and therefore hurt the economy. How can they be stopped? By beating them at their own game. Say the stock that they are advertising is sitting at around 50 cents and might get above $3 when it's hyped. If you invest $50 and buy 100 shares, then people do the same thing. The stock might rise to $1. If you pull out quick, you won't get burned and you have a net gain of $50. If everyone pulled out at the $1 when the fishers weren't expecting it, they also bought shares at 50 cents, and they are the ones left holding their dicks, and the stock's worth less than a half a cent. If fishers get wide to the schemes, they might start selling when the stock rises to 10 cents instead of $3, just to beat the other investors. But that is also a good thing, because the good guys can do the same thing, and the plan here isn't really to make money, it's to stop the fishers. Cutting their profit margins is the main goal. An eventual loss means they might see the attacks as a lost cause and stop them altogether. However, being the upbeat pessimist that I am, I know that this is simple dreaming and that there is always dumbasses willing to give their money away. To pull this off, it would be a large group of coordinated investors with only a little to invest, so that no one loses too much money. Maybe a government task force armed with E-Trade and $1,500 each might be a... It might be an easy way to stop these phishing attacks and shore up a national debt at the same time. Oh yeah, Microsoft has the will and the money to do it, so why haven't they thought about it? Because Microsoft hates you. Sincerely, Paul T. I think this is one of those ideas that look really cool on paper, but I don't think it actually does this. There's a couple of ideas why. The scam is called a pump and dump, because what they do is they pump up the stock to make it like so people invest in it, and then they dump all their shares, and that's when it crashes and everything. I'm not sure if when they say the target price is $3, I'm not sure if that's the target price and whether or not they actually they may be already at that point that Paul brought up when they're selling it. It's 5 cents right now. Let's sell it when it gets to 10 cents. So I'm really not sure if that's what they do, but I think I think I heard that someplace, but who knows? Next, you really wouldn't want to do this because the SEC, at least if you're in the United States or if you have a similar stock market enforcement agency in your country, they'll probably start looking at you because you're actually doing stuff. And actually, I think a lot of the I'm guessing that a lot of these pump and dump scams happen within a few hours of the email, since they are I think the term is microcap. I'm not sure on this one. I'm sure we have some crazy investment dudes out there. Snake might know. I think he does stock markets. All it takes is really a few people to go after the stock for the stock to go crazy, because it's just that small. I mean, when you're talking about a market share of 5,000 shares, if you got three people buying 1,000 shares each, that's over 50% of their market share going out the window. So, their market cap. I think that's the term. I don't know these stock investor terms. It's all crazy.
Yeah.
I think this is possible. It's just very, very difficult, and I think you'll probably just end up getting burned in the process. And actually, I should have found the site. There's actually a guy online who tracks the stocks after the pump and dump, and I think he started sometime last year. And if he bought every stock that was actually hawked to him via spam, he'd be about $50,000 in the hole.
Dang.
Yeah, and I forget, he invested X amount of money per stock, and I think it was only like $100 or something. I think it was maybe 10 shares. Who knows? I'm not exactly sure. I really should find that site. Maybe I'll put that in the housekeeping for tomorrow. Or next week, that is.
Can we Google it?
Sure. If you want to Google it, it's fine with me. But I'll go into the next email. How about that? We'll split up the work.
I'd actually had some stuff to say on that one.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, you were pretty quiet, so I thought you were done. But sure, go right ahead.
Well, I don't want to interrupt. But you'd been saying it probably happens within a few hours, but if you watch some of the interviews that some of the news networks do with spammers, like Comedy Central did one, and he was saying that he sent out 1,400 emails every second or something.
Yep.
And if you think about that many emails, it probably doesn't even take them hours before they bail out on it.
Well, I think the question is whether or not how long it takes for the stock to respond to it and what they're trying to sell it at.
Yeah, case by case.
Yes. So it depends on it. And also, he's talking like, you know, 50 cents. Hold on. I'm actually going to go into my missed spam folder so I can bring one of these up. Oh, God, these are getting horrible.
I just get phishing stuff.
One of these
eBay. That's like all the spam I get. I get hundreds of them.
Oh, seriously. Like, since last night, I had literally like 50 spams sitting in my inbox. It's horrible. It's annoying. I think I have right now from, let's see, when does this really start? I think I last emptied my missed spam folder where I just drag all the spam that Spam Assassin missed so I can try to reclassify my Bayesian system. Since November 7th, I have received 1,158 spams that got by my filter.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. For example, I'm not going to say what this stock is, but the stock, it says current price around 1 cent, target price 6 cents. And, you know, this thing is going to do a major release this week and get a whole lot of spam. And actually, with, you know, pump and dumps aside, I always think, you know, microscap and penny stocks would be a fun place to do because, you know, get $10 and buy, like, hey, I got like 10,000 shares of this company in Gondwana. Yeah. Light up your cigar and if you're over 18. But
I don't know. Does the law say anything about smoking it or just buying it?
Well, I think you can buy this. It's just you're going to get burned. I think the illegal act is when you try to, you know, release a fake news announcement about it, try to get interest in the stock, and then try to cash in on the profit when it's, you know, tripled in value and you make an obscene amount of money. That's what the SEC gets interested in.
Yeah.
So beyond that, I think everything is legal. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not trying to give people ideas. Don't get involved in pump and dump scams. Just stay away. don't invest in 10,000 shares of the penny stock. Then, you know, compromise a couple open relays or something. Don't do it.
Don't get involved with botnets either.
Yeah. Or drinking or cigars. Our next email, who's it from? Billy Stank. You were talking about databases in episode 101, kind of a blast from the past here. Specifically, MySQL versus Postgres. I've used MySQL for a while and never figured out how to store 128-bit integer. I know it's a huge integer, but I basically need a primary key to be a global unique ID. A GUID. I don't know what you actually call that when it's abbreviated. 32 hex characters, 16 bytes, 128 bits. Getting MySQL to work with this is very tedious, and I ended up giving up because I don't want a duct tape solution. Microsoft SQL could handle it, but Microsoft SQL was no longer an option. As a database programmer, how would you address the use of a global unique ID as a primary key of a table? Billy. Yes, it's very tedious because, you know, a GUID, which is a global unique identifier, and if you've ever used Windows, you've probably seen this at one point. It's like that mess of gibberish where it's like a bunch of hex characters split up into like eight characters each, which dashes in between. And if you've ever mucked about in the registry, you've probably seen it. If not, just Google GUID and you'll see tons of examples of it. MySQL has been ported to Windows, but I think GUID is really a Microsoft-only concept. I don't really think anyone has attempted to put a global, you know, GUID scheme working into MySQL because it's, you know, Microsoft. It's not Microsoft SQL. It's MySQL. They don't care about this GUID that Microsoft uses. They're basically a Unix program.
I've got
essentially you're trying.
I've got Microsoft SQL on my computer. running.
Well, you can actually download Microsoft SQL now, yeah. Which is a big difference from when Episode 101 was released.
Yeah.
Get yourself an Express Edition. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to download it for my little sister to do some school project thing where she had to log in and it stored all the passwords with my SQL or Microsoft SQL.
What type of school thing? If you can get around, drop it in docs. I mean, what type of school thing requires Microsoft SQL or some type of, it's probably like SQL Desktop Edition.
Well,
On the local machine. I mean, that's just bad.
Well, it's a curriculum for homeschool
uh-huh.
students type thing, yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess I can see that then.
I don't want to drop too many docs, but the whole thing is wide open and screwed up so badly. I did it for a couple of years.
A lot of educational software is, but we won't get into that.
I did it for a couple of years with my school, and it was wide open, the whole thing. And this was before I even got into hacking, and I could do whatever I wanted on it.
Dum, dum, dum. Not that you did, because that would be wrong.
Not.
But
I did nothing of the sort.
Like I said, I'm not sure if I mentioned this. Mike, getting a global, I brought up a nice little analogy. Getting a global unique identifier into MySQL is such a foreign as a concept as trying to work with a password file on Windows. So, or a passwd. I'm not sure how you really pronounce that, but etsy password.
It's just not possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's possible. Yeah, it's just going to take a lot of tinkering. And, I mean, I'm sure there's probably some real way of doing it, and from the sounds of it, he eventually found a way. It was just a, as he called it, a duct tape solution, or as I would call it, a chewing gum and duct tape solution. But
chewing gum and duct tape. So,
chewing gum and duct tape. So, you know, just do it in there. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a way to do it. It's just not going to be very neat because they just don't understand each other. It's apples and oranges that way.
Hang on again. Nice, good sip of sweet tea.
Oh, yeah, sure. Plug your sweet tea.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I don't see how you can actually drink sweet tea on when you're talking on a radio show. I mean, I can only, when you're talking for extended period of time, I'm a big fan of water or martinis, but we don't get into that.
See, I've got no problem with water. I love water. Well, somewhat.
But doesn't your mouth all dry, and when you get the sugar in there, it just, you know, makes it all sticky and everything? And
no, see, it does that if you take tea and mix sugar in. Sweet tea is where you take sugar and you mix a little tea in.
Oh, okay. So essentially you're just drinking this kind of gelatinous slob where like all like the sugar, it's like the sugary sludge gets down in the bottom of an entire glass full of it.
No, see, sweet tea does not have, the sugar is one. On a molecular level, they are one. So it's not, you can leave it for as long as you want, and the sugar is not going to pile up at the bottom. That is good sweet tea right there.
Well, yes, but you were saying that it was sugar with a little tea fug. I was just picturing this giant glass of sugary sludge. I'm like, yeah, it's sugar with a little tea splashed in.
Well, that's the way it should be with the amount of sugar. But, I mean, if you want real sweet tea, you got to make the sugar and the tea at the same time. Not this. Like, when I travel up north, they don't have sweet tea. And the only way to do it is to take tea and add sugar. But it just doesn't have the same taste.
So you take the sugar and you... I probably actually can probably get this... Stangdog will be writing an email explaining all about sweet tea for us. So when you're brewing the tea while it's still hot, you put in the sugar?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
And you do it kind of like rock candy. You know how to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You do it kind of like that, only about however much it would take to do rock candy, you do half of that.
Yes, we are familiar with rock candy up here in the north.
Yes. Well,
but sweet tea, hell no. Yeah, I think it actually did. Was up here.
We need a special section on the forums for sweet tea.
Sweet tea and tea, I think.
Stank Dog will go for it.
I'm sure he will.
So, Stank, do it. Do it. Come on.
Yeah. Anyway, enough about sweet tea.
Sweet tea.
Actually, personally, I don't find tea. Well, let's try this. Tea and sugar, I really actually started to find repulsive. I actually, I was brought up on I guess you could call it ISO standard tea. your standard cup of tea, which was, you know, sugar, milk in your tea all at once, and that's how you drink it. And
well, I like that too, but
yeah, that's all. That's all.
One of these days, when I get to go to a hacker con, I'll bring a gallon of Milo sweet tea. Best sweet tea in the South.
Anyway, like I said, enough about tea. But like I said, I've actually really started to find just, you know, hot tea, you know, no sugar, just all plain. And I want to thank Chinatown from Boston for introducing me to that, because that's essentially how you drink it over there.
Yeah.
Okay, our next email is from PT.
Oh, this is short.
In response to...
That is a short one.
Yeah, well, I guess it's good. Maybe it's PT Barnum emailing us from the grave. In response to episode 175, a master of all things pranks and social engineering, Rob Cockerman of cockeyed.com, has a prank section. They are all harmless, but to give you an example, he and his friends drove NASCAR style around a McDonald's for a few laps, and I believe it was actually through a drive-through. So anyone can really drive around a McDonald's. It's not that exciting, but if you drive around a drive-through, it's a little more interesting. And so that's www.cockeyed.com. EYED.com. Charlie Oscar, Charlie Kilowatt, Echo Yankee, Echo Delta.com. Okay, there we go.
Well,
which actually it was another great link. It's just it's just all about messing with people.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things we were talking about before the show started was my perfect example of culture jamming, which is dress up as a CompUSA employee and go to CompUSA and actually provide service to the customers.
Which really is a great idea.
They'd never know it was coming. But.
Well, and that, we actually were talking about this for a bit, and what I suggested was, you know, dress up in a, because, you know, CompUSA has the CompUSA shirts on, but what people... Actually, it's started to become, at least around here, I'm not sure if they're doing it national, but I think they are, is like, you know, you have representative from Microsoft and representatives from HP or Apple actually sitting in the CompUSA store trying to, you know, answer questions directly about their product because, as we all know, CompUSA employees are, for the most part, useless. I'm not trying to insult any CompUSA employees we have out there.
I was talking to a CompUSA employee the other day, and not at CompUSA because I don't go there. But I was talking to him, and he said he used to work there. He didn't work there anymore. He said that when you're employed there, it's not about being an ass. It's about just not caring.
Oh, I'm sure.
And that's the sole goal of an employee.
That's what we should do. We should actually come up with our own little Clerks parody and base it in CompUSA. But I don't think we have anyone who works in CompUSA and IRC, but I believe we have a couple of people who actually work in Best Buy. I'm sure Stackdog actually doesn't know this without banging his head on the desk that we have been drivers who work in Best Buy. But they are clueful, so there are clueful people out there. It's just that they're probably few and far between. So who knows? And as he pours another glass of the sweet tea.
Oh yeah. So it goes on the radio too.
It's sound effects, man. It's all about providing atmosphere.
Of course, it's good.
So, wow, we actually had a lot of email this week. It's kind of moved right along here.
And they're all long, too, except for this last one.
Yeah, totally. I mean, look at Living Dead. I was going nuts on going... Blah, 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 blah.
Is that actually how you pronounce it? It didn't look quite like that. That's not how I figured it would be said when I read it the first time.
Livin... D-E-D.
See, I was kind of thinking
Livin'
or something like that. But well, Livin' or Livin' Dead. Send us an audio recording of how you pronounce your name.
Yeah. Well, he's on the forums a lot, and before you mentioned anything about it, I really just assumed that was how he pronounced his name.
Yeah.
I could be dead wrong for all I know.
Well, what you should do is for everybody that sends an email to... What is it?
RadioBenRev.com.
They should send a WAV file with the correct pronunciation of their name.
We actually had someone who did do that.
Yeah, see, makes everything.
It was a British guy, and he sent in a pronunciation of his name because it was all in. If I remember correctly, it was a British guy who sent in. I think he had like a British accent, and he was, you know, he sent in because he was pronouncing it all British-like. And we'll state this as we always do. If you have want to make sure your name pronounces, just try to include some type of phonetic pronunciation underneath your name, and we'll make sure it gets out there, and we'll send you props out for doing that. All right, personal hacking series. What have you been working on there?
Not much. I just got into Linux, and I've been playing around in Ubuntu because that's the only one I could get my hands on. I don't have a way to burn live CDs.
Debian.
Debian. I wanted to try FLAC. Have you heard of FLAC? It's like professional hackers something. I don't remember what it was.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. When you said FLAC, I was assuming it started with an F.
No, it's PH. And it's got a whole bunch of hacking tools and offensive and defensive stuff already on the distro. But I don't have a way to burn live CDs. So the only one I could get my hands on is Ubuntu.
Why can't you burn a live CD?
Because I don't have anything to do it with other than what is included on Windows.
Well, actually, so we'll look at that. The doctors are in on binrev.com here. Hold on, I need to find this program because I actually had this program when I reinstalled my computer and I didn't want. I couldn't find an ISO burner because my ISO burner, there we go. My ISO burner had an issue with Windows XP because I was a noob and I was running a very old version of Windows. But we won't get into that. It's called ImageBurn, ImgBurn, and it's freeware. And it burns ISO images, no problem.
Wait, it's how do you spell that?
ImgBurn, and let me go Google it for everyone. So in case anyone else has this problem...
All right, I got it.
www.imgburn.com. India Mike Golf, Bravo Uniform, Romeo November.
All right, let me add this to my favorites.
It's a freeware, and it's great. It really is.
Yeah, see, this was my problem. I couldn't find a free ISO burner. I'd looked at Nero and stuff, but being a high school student, I do not have money, so...
Save up your allowance or get a part-time job, man. Nero is some good stuff, and I use it at work. So, and I every time there's a new version comes out, I go submit my little form. I submit my TPS report, and I say, you know, I want to buy a new version of this, and it goes upstairs, and I have to say, you know, yes, I really want a new version of this. Please let me have it, please. Okay, fine, let me bend over, and. And, you know, it hopefully eventually gets approved. But it's good software, and it really is. And I find it's worth the money. It really is. It's worth it in gold. Just because if you're a noob, it has all the little wizards and everything, but you finally click that little option saying, I know what I'm doing, leaves you alone for the rest of the time. It's great.
Yeah, well, I won't be using that for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And actually, now that you have Linux installed, you can burn images on that, too.
Now, see, I've been looking at that, but there's one on there for burning CDs, but I didn't see anything about an ISO, so I wasn't quite sure, and I didn't try, but I probably should do that.
Well, as if with everything with Linux, you just have to sit down and do enough Googling, and the answer will present itself.
Yeah. I've been trying to learn the command line, too, so...
Command line is good. So you're taking the good thing. See, even that, not trying to insult you or anything, look at that, you can be a noob and get on BinRev Radio. It's amazing.
Hey, I've got no problem.
Well, actually, there was a topic in the forum, and they're talking about what the difference between a noob and a skiddy and a lamer is, and all that kind of stuff. But
I might have to look.
There's a noob, and I think you're more classified under my terminology, at least, as a newbie.
Yeah, see,
which
I like
N E W B I E.
I think newbie sounds better than noob.
Well, noob is more of a derogatory term, in my opinion. So I call it a little. The little BinRev freshmen, the newbies.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe actually that's what they call newbie HQ, but I think Stank actually has a different spelling than I do. But same concept, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, or just, you know, working on Linux there?
No, I've been sick lately and haven't been able to do anything but Linux. So.
Oh, I'm getting a head cold. It's been driving me nuts. What have I been doing? I'm sure I'm going to piss a lot of people off by saying this, but I hooked up my LED sign again, but no one can access it, so it's just my own little personal thing, and it's currently a giant caller ID window that I'm working on with Asterisk here, so it's pretty cool.
Sweet.
Actually, I the last time a call came in was a while ago on the line I have hooked into, so I was testing it out, and I have a call from 311-555-2368, Dom Tuffy. Which, if you've been to phonetrips.com, you'll get that reference. And I'm assuming that Faceman has never been to phonetrips.com, so we'll just leave it at that.
Think about what that was. It's on my
way. 311-555-2368 is the phone number in every Bell System advertisement that they ever had. Because I think the idea was if you try to dial the number, you dialed 311 and it would connect you to the business office. Mm-hmm. So that's the canonical fake number, which has a special phone freak meaning to it. So, yes, the LED sign rhymes again, but I don't think it's going to be publicly accessible because just the way my connection is currently set up. So if you want my LED sign accessible, please write to complaints@verizon.com and say that you should really be able to get static IPs for cheap money and be able to host web content off your DSL line.
Of course.
I'll orchestrate a massive letter-writing campaign. Who's this Black Ratchet fellow, and why does he have DSL with us? Ban him. But yeah, that's what I've been working on. And actually, I've been really banging my head against it because I've been trying to hook up my landline. And for those of you in the Northeast, two nights ago there was a thunderstorm. Thunderstorm in November, go figure. Actually, no, a thunderstorm in December.
We had tornadoes here 2 days ago.
Well, I mean, you're down south. You're in the middle of Tornado Alley. Yeah, a thunderstorm in December around here is just insanity. And like 10 p.m. apparently, I saw my TV flicker, and I thought, oh, I guess power kind of spiked. And I start trying to use my server the next morning, and my server doesn't want to come up. And I was like, oh, okay. And I turned it back on, and all of a sudden my telephone interface for Asterisk doesn't want to work again. And here's the weird part. I bang my head against it for a while, and I crack it open, and I reseat it, and I do all that, and I fire up the computer, and it works fine. And I'm like, oh, great, I fixed it, thank God. And I shut it back down, pop the cover back in, screw everything back in, slide it back into the computer, turn it back on, doesn't work again. I mean, really, what's up with that? Totally, it just drives me batty.
You just don't have your way with computers.
Yeah, I should become Amish or something. Raise a barn.
There's some Amish guys down the road from me.
Really? In Alabama? I thought they were all up in Pennsylvania.
There's some down here.
Wow, they're everywhere.
I mean, I don't know if
they're
it's
the
an Amish
threat.
Community or something, but they got this little store set up, and they sell Amish goods. And
What can you buy in an Amish store? I mean, I'm honestly curious.
I've never personally been there, but some of my neighbors have, and you can get, like, the milk from the cows, like, straight from the cows or something.
What, they have, like, an udder, like, you know, hanging the side of the room, and you just, like, milk it into a bottle for yourself?
I'm not sure what they do, but one of my neighbors is...
Straight from the cow, all right.
One of my neighbors is lactose intolerant,
mm-hmm.
and he can get this milk and be fine.
Really?
So... Yeah, and then they've got the cheeses and stuff, and it's supposedly some really good cheeses. So, I mean, cheese alone. I mean, I'm a big fan of cheese. So, cheese was something that I was thinking about, but I don't know.
I'll call Vermont or something.
There, so.
I think it would be an experience, and I'm sure they're farmers, so that's what they do all the day. So I'm sure their stuff is pretty damn good, like any type of stuff you would get from a farmer,
mm-hmm.
instead of the prepackaged stuff you find at the store.
Yeah.
And if you're a farmer, you know, that would be good if, for example, you need to survive in the wilderness. How about that for a segue, huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Well.
So how about our main topic tonight here? So,
well.
I'll let you take it away because I guess you have a bit more information than I do, at least.
Well, you're an Eagle Scout, so.
I am an Eagle Scout, which is actually what started this whole thing. You actually sent me an email saying, I thought I heard you say you were an Eagle Scout, so let's go talk about this. And I was like, oh, awesome. Now, the topic tonight is, I don't know, just it's kind of like wilderness survival, but you can really expand your knowledge when you have this as to, you know, all kinds of survival, because let's say we're living in a different world, you know, you got people trying to blow people up, and you know you have Katrina, and you know, look at all just the mess that happened down there, and we won't turn this into a social commentary and all that stuff, but I mean, well, if you had people who were a little more better in finding out how to, you know, survive this shit, I think, you know, Katrina would have been a completely different disaster. And I think it's very important to realize, you know, what happens when everything shits to bed. And as geeks, we should know this, because we're cool like that.
Right. And most of the stuff, if you're trapped in, say, the woods, the best thing that you're going to do is hack what's around you, so...
Preferably with a hatchet or some type of sharp object, but
yes, but
I made it funny.
Whatever you got,
yes.
So that's just like it is when you're actually hacking.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's start off with my credentials.
Okay, what are your credentials? You have credentials? What's up with this? This has been Rev Radio. We don't have credentials here.
What makes me special? What makes me able to talk about what we want to talk about?
Okay, how about that? Well. Go ahead. I mean, I don't know what to ask you. What makes you so qualified?
Well, what makes me so qualified is I'm a Boy Scout. I'm a Venture Scout. For those of you who don't know what that is, Google it.
Nerd.
It's the older people in Boy Scouting doing bigger and better. They really know their shit.
They got the skills. It's essentially the elite Boy Scouts.
Yes, we're the uber elite Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Boy Scouts, we know this shit. I will admit, I'm an Eagle Scout. I think I've talked to that a couple times on the show, but
yeah.
I actually think I mentioned that just now. But that's what it is. We know this kind of stuff, and it's handy crap. I mean, if you're thinking about, you know, a lot of people dismiss Boy Scouts as a bunch of nerds and you know, do-gooders, but. Heck, you know, my troop, we broke and entered, we learned how to pick locks, I'm not making this stuff up. We were an interesting group of kids, but
I think all Boy Scouts have to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people think Boy Scouts are goody two shoes, but to tell you the truth,
we're not.
Drop a little docs in the Boy Scouts. You ain't gonna see anybody worth a worse mind. I mean, I've seen more perverse things come from Boy Scouts.
That just sounds really, really bad. I'm not sure what they do down in Alabama, but
well, nothing like Strom. But I mean, Boy Scouts are not all that great. We do bad things,
yeah.
Just for the hell of it. But but we do know our shit, so that is why I am talking to however many people are listening about survival.
Okay, so we're on our way to DEF CON, and our plane goes into the middle of the Rockies, and it looks like we may be stuck there.
Yeah, see, that's a bad example.
Oh, okay, how about
how many planes have you ever heard of crashing that somebody survived of that's not a runway crash?
We have parachutes. We're cool like that. For Boy Scouts,
we're prepared.
Yeah. Okay, right, fine.
So,
find up another scenario.
We survive. And all the other
little Mr.
die.
Wilderness Survival Boy, find me another scenario. I don't know. I'm just trying to toss us into a...
Well,
we're running from the feds, and we're into the middle of a large state park. How do we survive?
Well, the first thing you got to think about is psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Because that really is your first priority, not water or food or anything like that, because you can live for days without food or... I think the statistic is 3 weeks or something.
That sounds about right from what I remember.
Yeah, and then water is 3 days or something. But so psychology is your main thing, because most of the people that get lost, now I'm pulling this out of my ass, but most of the people that get lost get found within a day or a half, day and a half or something. I'm probably wrong, just like most of the other stuff I say.
Well, you're fitting right into Midrive Radio with all these... Just as long as you sound like you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so that's that. The first thing you need to do when you realize that you're lost, you are screwed, there's nothing that you can do by yourself, is size up the situation and realize that there is something that you can do, and that's survive. You want to use all of your senses. Take in everything that's around you. Go through your pockets. Go through bags you have. See what you have. See what you can redo, change, hack to come up with a way to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to actually, there's this nice little acronym for survival, and it's S, size up the situation. U, use all your senses. R, remember where you are. V, vanquish fear and panic. I, improvise. V, value living. A, act like the natives. And L, live by your wits. And we're going to give props to the U.S. Army for that wonderful little acronym.
Oh, see, I was going to give props to the Boy Scouts. I was going to say, oh, those tricksy Boy Scouts. But
no, the Boy Scouts got one even better. It's just four. It's stop. And I don't remember what it was.
Oh, yeah, I actually remember that. I saw it on a poster. All the good it's doing me right now. But
and if you want to learn about this, go to your local Boy Scout shop and pick up a Wilderness Survival Merit Badge book, because it will have an infinite amount of information.
If you don't want to talk about Boy Scouts, does the Army have stuff on this?
Yes, the Army does, and if I will go over here.
The good old Army.
Yeah, I'll tinyurl it real fast. And if you go to tinyurl.com/79OVF, have you got the...
79 Oscar Victor Sierra.
It's F.
F? Oh, see? F. See, this is why we do this. 79 Oscar Victor Foxtrot.
There we go. So if you want to go there, that is... see, where is that? That's globalsecurity.org. And they've got a whole bunch of different Army manuals and stuff, so you can go check out them. And that is the direct link to a PDF file, and you will get all sorts of information about the manual. And a lot of the material that we're going to be covering tonight is covered in there. So.
Okay, so let's get back to this acronym. I think we covered a couple of them. Like, you know, we sized up the situation. We're lost. We're screwed. We're doomed. You know, and the next thing is, you know, we need to find out, you know, are we use all your senses? And I assume that means, like, do I hear a stream running nearby? Or
more importantly, an airport or a road.
An airport or a runway. Or there we go. That's even better. I'd be doomed if I was in the woods.
Mm-hmm. And you also want to remember where you are. I mean, if you're in a state park and you remember looking at a map on the way in and you know what portion of the state park you're in, you know which way to go, is closest to the road, get out of the park, do what you got to do. So you want to remember where you are, see what you can do about that. If there's anybody else with you, start talking to them. Tell them what they got to do. Because after listening to this show, you're the expert. So, you know, if you get in a situation like this, you need to take charge. Be a man. Vanquish fear and panic. So.
Well, I think that's kind of obviously what it is, vanquish. We need something that starts with a V. Let's go use vanquish. Ooh, that's a good choice.
Gotta love the Army.
Yep.
So we're going to get a whole,
you know,
we're
improvise.
Get a emails from Marines.
Yeah, well, what is it? Cypher X, he's a Marine around here, so.
Yeah,
I'm sure the Marine, if Cypher's listening and the Marines have some type of survival manual, which I'm sure they do, you know, send in the URL and we'll go put that up.
Put it in the show notes.
Okay.
If we ever get show notes.
Yeah, well, show notes are coming. We're actually working on that, so.
Yeah, and I wrote two show note episodes, but that's another story for another time.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so improvise. Improvise what?
Well.
Just improvise?
Improvise anything.
Improvise improvisation.
Yes. I mean, if you got it, do it. That came out wrong. I mean, you're going through your backpack and you find duct tape. Hey, you got rope.
Rope?
You can...
underwear? Ooh, that just sounds bad. It's like, ow.
Yeah, that... no. So, just use whatever you have and change it. If you've got a pin, you could potentially have a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
We'll cover that later with one of my wonderful segues. But, so... you want to improvise whatever you have. And with improvising, whatever you go to improvise with, your most important thing is the value living. Because that is the point of what we're teaching here, is staying alive.
Yeah, don't think about, you know, jumping off the, oh, God, I got lost in the middle of the woods. Let me go jump off this ravine here and I'll kill myself.
Yes, don't give up hope.
Yeah.
Be patient. So.
Unless you get bored easily, you know, 15 minutes in, oh, I'm doomed.
Yeah, don't kill yourself within the first 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, go for it.
Well, not even that. You know, what's the... How long do those people up in the Andes survive, the Brazilian soccer team that ate everybody?
Ooh.
Yeah, they lasted for a while. So you never know.
Yeah, think about all those movies where somebody gets stranded on an island.
And they're always based on true stories, so they have to be true.
Yeah.
Act like the natives. What do you mean by that?
Well, act like the natives was taken from the Army Manual, so in this case, it's talking about twofold. Different things
okay.
they can do is act like the actual human natives and try and blend in and maybe learn some things that help you get out of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But more likely for the hacker realm is act like the animals.
Oh.
You know, if you see them eating something, it's probably okay if you eat it. That's not even a rule of thumb because a lot of the stuff that animals eat, humans cannot eat. Like dogs, they've got no problem sniffing other dogs' butts, but a human can't do that.
Well, they can. It would just be very, very weird, and it'd be a furry.
Yeah, see, that it's just not cool for a human to do that.
So, totally.
But if you follow animals, if you follow tracks and stuff, you'll generally get led to water or someplace to set traps. You look at what the animals are doing. You can't always eat everything if they're eating, but if they're drinking it, it shouldn't be a problem. Well, it is, but we'll cover that in water. So,
all right. And living by your wits.
I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, I think so, too. So we'll just gloss over that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We've also got priorities.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you need to remember is your last priority is food. That's going to be the first thing that you think about when you're out there is food. But if you ever get in a situation where you can't eat, it's only for about the first 3 days. That you're actually hungry. And then after the first 3 days, you're not hungry anymore. As long as you don't eat anything, you can drink whatever you want. But after the first 3 days, you don't feel it anymore. Now, if you do get something to eat, you don't want to just shove it all in. Because there's been situations where people have done that and died.
Yes, actually, we'll just kind of bring this up. When the labor camps in Nazi Germany were liberated, one of the first things soldiers did was, oh God, we need to give all these people all this food. And there was quite a few incidents where people would stuff themselves silly and they would actually kind of die. And the word was passed out saying, if you find these things, don't feed them because they'll explode. Well, not literally, but that was one of the major things that they had to tell people that they couldn't do.
Mm-hmm. And my parents used to live in Spain. For a while, because my dad was in the Navy, and one of the things that they'd have over there for food is they'd take a dog, like a little wiener dog, and they'd starve him for a couple of weeks, and then give him a whole bunch of rice. So then you could just cook the dog, and he'd be full of rice. But they wouldn't have to kill him before they cook him, because he would eat all that food and die. And it sounds disgusting.
Charming story.
Yes, but apparently it tasted pretty good, but I don't want to try it.
Oh, hell, that's what they do in Korea. Well, they used to do in Korea. I think it's illegal now. The dog is one of those rare delicacies.
Mm-hmm. But your first priority is fire.
Okay.
Well, depending on what the weather is fire, and we'll cover that in a little bit. But depending on what the weather is, it could very well be shelter. So, well, no matter what you do, your first priority is getting noticed and getting out of the situation, unless, of course, you're running from the cops.
Yeah, because
BinRev does not approve of.
Yes, resisting arrest and all that kind of stuff is just bad.
Yeah. So, depending on what your situation is, it's either fire or shelter is your top priority. So, depending on what's going on, it's probably going to be shelter.
Okay.
Especially if a storm's coming in or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to look out for that. When you go to pick a shelter, you want to make sure that. Just different things. You don't want to be underneath a whole bunch of rocks that might come flying down if a bird lands on them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be near an avalanche or anything. You might want to pick being underneath a tree or something like that so that you have a little bit more protection. Someplace that you can signal from if you need to. And you don't want to pick where a whole bunch of deer sleep or snakes and stuff. So area like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I could see that being kind of then interrupting my nap.
Yeah, that could be bad. Or flash flood area, that could be bad too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the storm comes in that you built the shelter to protect yourself from, and it doesn't do much good if you're flooded.
Yeah.
So. So
what would be, like, I assume that someplace high up, possibly at the edge of a clearing where you would be able to, you know, see a lot of the stuff around you if you see someone searching for you, if you see, like, a search plane or something?
Yeah, that would be a good spot. The Army has this thing that they've got, and it's Bliss,
mm-hmm.
and it's B, blend with the surroundings, L, low silhouette, I, irregular shape, S, small, and S, secluded location.
Hmm.
So we can cover that. One by one, blend in with your surroundings is obviously for animals.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go to pick your spot and you think that you might be there for a while, you don't want to scare off the animal life.
Yep.
Because you will need them for food. I'm sorry, vegetarians, you will need to eat meat.
Dum dum dum.
Yes. So you want to do that. You don't. Irregular shape doesn't really apply if you're trying to get noticed, or low silhouette. Well, low silhouette does, because that way the wind doesn't bother you,
mm-hmm.
but not a regular shape. You want something that's more streamlined and wind efficient, because no matter where you're at, there's going to be wind. So you also want something small, because if it's too big, then the wind can get in there, animals can get in there, knock it down, just different stuff, and we'll
mm-hmm.
cover building it in a second. So we've got this secluded location as the last part of Bliss. And secluded location would be very good, because that way, if you are going to hunt, which you very well may end up doing, you don't want to be where your animals are, because they will smell you. And animals have a much better sense of smell than anyone might imagine.
Yeah, especially after, if you've been surviving for a couple of days, you're going to smell pretty ripe.
Oh, yes. So, and we're going to talk a little bit about how to get rid of that smell in a little bit. But it's not going to get rid of it entirely, especially where you're at, sleeping and doing everything that you're doing. But you also want to make sure there's enough sticks and everything around to burn.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if it's in the middle of summer, you've got to have a fire for purification and everything. The fire will keep you alive more than anything else.
Hell, light even, though, because you're not bringing a 9 times out of 10, you won't have a flashlight.
Yeah. Unless, of course, you're a Boy Scout.
Yes, because you're prepared. Yeah. Parachutes, and you got another little backpack on the front with, like, you know, survival kit, flashlight, shotgun,
yeah,
large artillery. I don't know. I'm just.
If you happen to have a shotgun while you're out there, don't even worry about food. It'll come to you.
Well, not
just
really.
Remember, you've only got one shot. After that, all the food is gone.
Yep. Okay, so we've studied our Bliss manual, and we followed the acronym, and now we need to build a shelter. So what kind of shelter can we have here? Do we want to, like, you know, find something that's a cave, or?
If you can, that would be excellent.
Okay, but what if we can't?
Well, there's certain natural shelters you want to look for,
mm-hmm.
like trees that have fallen over and they leave this empty spot where the roots have come up.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen that? That's,
yes.
Yeah. That would be a great spot to go. On one of my wilderness survival campouts, one of the girls that was there with us went and slept in that, and it was a heck of a lot better than the shelter I had. But that's one of the great spots that you can go. You don't want to have anything by water, though. That's something I forgot in shelter selection. You don't want to be near water.
Why
is that? You want to be within walking distance so that you can get it relatively easily.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to scare off animals or anything. Although, in a survival situation, you don't really care about animals. So send all tree-hugging ideas out the window. Your life is more important. But, so a tree falling, anything that's natural shelter that you can have that is away from the wind, get
mm-hmm.
you out of the wind, out of rain or anything that you need, especially caves. Caves are great. But there's a couple of different shelters that you can make yourself, like a poncho lean-to.
Okay.
So if you've got a poncho with you, or waterproof clothing, or anything that you can have that is like a sheet, or just depending on what you have, anything that you have that you can throw together and make a poncho-like
mm-hmm.
blanket or anything, and grab some vines or two trees that are bent over near each other, or anything that you can, and throw this blanket over it and tie it down with anything, anything at all. If you got to take off your shoelaces and tie it on there, go for it. So just make a lean-to. I mean, everybody knows what a lean-to is. So, if you don't, it's kind of like a old army tent with one side. So that's the best way to describe it.
Okay. Essentially, it's like one of those little like triangle tents you always see in the cartoons, except one side's missing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you've got enough material, go ahead and add the other side.
Yep.
And you want to make it so that the way you get in and out, if you have both sides, is sideways to the wind,
mm-hmm.
so that the wind is blocked, so you have some place to get out of the wind. So that's basically that.
So what happens if I don't have my handy blanket poncho waterproof clothing around and I need to still build a shelter?
Well, we have the field expended lean-to, which is you grab a nice large pole and try and put it in between two trees and then add poles going down from that. So you're essentially making a lean-to out of poles and then you're covering it with leaves.
I'm not going to admit that I kind of, watch a show off and on, but like the hell they make on Survivor.
Yes.
Yes.
Just like Survivor. Not just like Survivor. I've only seen a couple of episodes of Survivor, but everything that I've seen on Survivor just makes me want to laugh.
Yeah, I mean, these people are clueless, but occasionally you do see, oh, okay, there's someone who actually knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Mrs. Ratchet watching.
Red Beret showed up?
Hmm?
There was an episode where Red Beret showed up and showed up how to do some stuff?
Yes, Mrs. Ratchet watches Survivor more than I do, and I watch it sometimes. I'm like, oh, okay, they actually got that part right. But I usually just say, God, morons.
Well, that's just kind of throw it all together and cover it with leaves, mud, just something to keep the rain off a little bit.
Pine tree stuff. And
yeah. So another way to do that is do the same thing, but on a much smaller level. Make it like 3 feet high instead of, say, 6 feet high like the field expendant lean-to, which is a one-man debris shelter, which is basically the same thing. Except you only take it about 3 feet high.
Yep.
And cover it more. It takes a lot less limbs and everything to do. So, but that you can find all of this and directions on how to make it on our site of the week, which we'll give a little later.
Cool.
So, and a bunch of other different types of shelters.
All right. Okay, so one of our major things here is, we need to find water. So what should we be looking for in a water source?
Well, what you should be looking for in your water source is a clear water source. I mean, you don't want to be drinking mud water. But
oh, man, but I like the color brown.
Well, that's too bad for you. if you have to, you can drink that, but it's always much better to go for clear because you can't see what's killing you that way.
Hopefully, if we be able to... you have all these horrible things out there. But, how do we take care... I don't have my little, iodine tablet or whatever they do for purification. So how do I purify it, filter it, and I don't have my Brita filter with me either, so what do I do?
Think about it this way.
Which
would you prefer, getting sick from a bad water supply or being dead?
I don't know. It depends on if a vegetarian had to eat the animals, so...
Well...
I would be rather sick than dead, thank you.
Yeah, well, they've got cures for all of these different diseases, and since you will probably get found within a couple of days, it's probably best that you go ahead and drink whatever you've got. Don't really worry about anything. But if you realize that you're going to be there a while, there's a couple of different ways you can do it. Get rainwater, or if you happen to have a sponge, you can go around different plants and stuff and get sponge water out of those, or... some trees, like bamboo, and there was another one that I'm thinking of. There's bamboo and a banana tree. And if you cut those off, I think it's 6 inches from the bottom, and you leave this bowl in there. And then there's this film on the inside of the bamboo, and you take that out so that it doesn't mess with your water. And then you leave it there, and it fills up with drinkable water.
That's actually kind of cool. I mean, it's not going to really come into advantage for most of our stateside listeners, but for those of you living in Vietnam, This is for you.
Well, you can also do that with certain types of cactuses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so you find different things that you can, anything that sounds hollow.
Improvise,
yes. Hack it. So.
Water hacking. Didn't think we ever cover that in Benrev.
Yeah. Well, you find whatever you can to get water. Different types of cactuses, you can squeeze it out, or some are hollow and filled with water.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do whatever you can. My personal favorite is the still, for alcohol.
Oh, damn it.
Although, that's always fun, too. And legal in Alabama, I might add.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, crap. I think I gotta move.
So.
Unky Ratchet 150 proof vodka. Yeah.
I think anything above, like, 130 will kill you. But.
Well, no, they have like, something like it. What's. There's something out there like 191, and I mean, you take a shot and you almost like lose your vision, but you know. What is it? Kickapoy Joy Juice, I think it's called.
Yeah, well, I'll pass on that, thank you.
I'll have to look that up. That's a good question. I'm not sure. There's at some point where it is almost fatal to you, but.
Yeah, well.
Okay, so we have a still. So I don't even know how to make an alcohol still, but how do you make a water still?
Well, with a water still, if you happen to have Ziploc bags or plastic bags of any sort,
mm-hmm.
you can throw some vegetation in there, leaves, anything that would have a lot of water, like cactus parts, anything that you can, throw that in there and leave it in the sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like rain, because that's what it's doing, except it doesn't actually come down, and it forms on the inside of the bag. So you leave it there for, say, a day, and then you open the bag and pour it into anything you've got, whether it's just your hands or even if you got to pour it directly into your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a basic still. One of the other things that you can do is dig a hole about 6 feet in diameter, and just a circular hole, and dig it however deep you need to go, and put a bucket at the middle.
Mm-hmm.
This is if you have plastic sheeting. So you probably don't have plastic sheeting when you're out there, though. So you can, well, if you somehow got wrecked with a sailboat, I'm sure there's movies about that. You use the sail that you have.
And, okay.
You dig that and you put a rock right in the middle of it.
Yep.
And so you put vegetation on the inside, so it's essentially the same thing as a plastic bag.
Yep.
Except on a much larger scale and in underneath the ground. So you want to do that.
So I'd have a hole, and I'd have a bucket in the middle of it, and I'd have vegetation surrounding it, and I'd put my sail or giant plastic sheeting that I just happened to find out in the middle of the woods over everything?
Yeah, over the whole thing.
Okay.
You put a rock in the middle so that over top of the can that's at the bottom, or anything that
uh-huh.
you have that'll collect water,
yep.
so that any water that forms on the inside of this plastic sheeting will go down to the center and then drop into the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise it'll just drop all over the place.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought so. But that's also, you can use that to convert salt water to fresh water.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's, you do it 12 feet away from the water itself, and you dig down enough where you're not getting to the water level.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you've ever dug down at the beach, you'll hit water eventually.
Yep.
You don't want to do it that much, so the actual seawater is not getting up in there. But if you do that, the seawater will begin to seep in through the holes on the side.
Mm-hmm.
If you imagine this, not a strainer, a funnel.
Yep.
It's seeping in through the sides where the funnel is capped off at the bottom with your bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the fresh water that goes up to the top of this plastic sheet or your sail or anything like that and
mm-hmm.
comes down into this bucket.
Hmm.
So that way you don't even need plant life. So.
Okay, so what happens if I find like a fresh mountain spring that's everything, and I might be out there for a few things? Can I like boil my water, and will that make it okay?
Well, if you happen to have a pot.
Well, if I happen to have so right next to my giant plastic sheeting, can I have a pot?
Yes, anything you have that you can boil it in, you obviously
mm-hmm.
can't do anything that'll burn.
Yep.
Throw it over that fire.
Even if you have a paper cup, you can actually fill that up with water and stick that into a fire. It'll be interesting to handle once you're getting out, but because the water is actually inside, you can boil water in a paper cup, which actually a lot of people don't know about.
Now, how do you do that?
And this is the Boy Scout asking me. Because the water acts as an insulation.
Oh.
And it won't, the paper cup will not catch fire.
Cool.
You guys never did this? Cooking merit badge, come on now.
I mean,
that's how you boil water in a paper cup.
Eggs.
This is one of the...
We cook stuff in eggs, but we never did.
Yeah, we cook stuff in eggs, but that's what it was. You can boil water, too.
Huh. That's cool. Well, you can do that. You can also purify just the stuff that you see. Well, let me see where the page is. You want, there's different layers that you've got. You want sand, crushed rock, charcoal, and you want to throw that all in a cloth if you happen to have like a bandana or something, or t-shirts or anything that you have, and make these three layers of sand, crushed rock, and charcoal from a fire. Another reason that fire comes in, and throw that all together, and that will take out a lot of the stuff that's in there, much like a Brita filter would.
Okay. All right, so how do I start a fire?
Well,
despite my plastic cheating in my pot and my bucket and all my other stuff, I didn't bring matches. Couldn't find matches in the middle of the woods.
Well, before you start a fire, you got to know the way the fire works. And the way the fire works is you can never light a fire with one log. You've always got to have at least two, because that one log is only going to burn for so long before it goes out, and then it's going to need another log to restart it. So essentially, you're going back and forth relighting this log.
Yes, remember how you always have that term, adding fuel to the fire? Yes, this is part of the...
Right.
In this case, the log's your fuel.
So,
which...
The other thing you got to know is wood burns at nothing less than 600 degrees. So you got to start off small with the leaves and stuff, because they don't burn at 600 degrees. They burn at around 110. This is Fahrenheit, for those of you in the UK or Europe.
That's actually a very good point.
Yeah. So you want to start with leaves, twigs, pine straw, anything that you can that's smaller and light easily. Get a bundle of it, make it nice and fluffy, get the air flowing through there. So you want to get it nice and easy to light. On top of that, you want some bigger twigs that are fingernail size thick or smaller. Well, no, like diameter-wise the size of your fingernail. So... you want something small.
Okay.
So you go from kindling to tinder to fuel. And the fuel is the actual logs. In a survival situation, you don't want anything bigger than your wrist.
Okay.
Because it's just not going to burn real well. Unless it's not. Unless you get this whole bonfire thing going. So you want to get that going.
Which if you can, you'd be in real good shape.
Yeah, if you can, you're good to go. And because those bigger logs will burn for a lot longer if you've got enough to keep them going. But the fire is one thing that you want to keep going as much as you can. So if you're going to light it, matches and lighter is obviously the best way to do it. But you probably won't have those unless you're a prepared Boy Scout with a survival kit. So if you've ever seen any of the movies where they have survival problems, I'm trying to think of one, but nothing is coming to mind. The one with Tom Hanks and
Castaway.
Castaway, yes. He's lighting the fire by running the log up and down the split other log, and it's burning friction, and that is one of the best ways to light a fire. I've lit a fire with a magnifying glass, steel wool, and a 9-volt battery. That was fun. Because rust is one of the most volatile explosives that you will ever find. It's iron oxide used in C4.
Oh, rust and metal, that's thermite for you right there, for those of you who read the Anarchist Cookbook.
Hey, that was a good one.
Oh, it was a fun read. I will give them that.
Yeah. Just don't trust anything in there for those younger BinRev listeners.
Yes, and don't do anything and don't create explosions, and explosions are bad.
Yes. And I had nothing to do with any explosions that are seen on the news. For those feds that are listening. So that's anything that you can, really, to light the fire, especially friction. Rubbing two sticks together does work. At the point where the stick starts to spark a little bit, or you start to think that it's getting hot enough to do anything, go at it with your life. because you're so close to starting the fire, and you want to hit the leaves and the little pine straw, the little stuff, and you're pretty much home free from there. You throw it all in there, blow on it, give it some oxygen to feed on, and you're pretty good to go right there.
Yeah, if you see it starting to like spew smoke, start blowing on it like there's no tomorrow, and you know it won't be much like a candle because you got all the you're essentially feeding the fire oxygen, so that's actually a good thing. And even if like so say you get your fire started and you go to sleep for the night and you wake up the next morning and there's no fire left, it's just a bunch of hot ashes.
Well, those hot ashes will help you light the next fire.
Exactly, just toss a couple. You could even toss a couple of logs in there, and that if the, it may start going, although you probably want to start with that tinder, which is the smaller stuff first.
Yeah.
But
and
that stuff is really hot.
Yeah, and I've seen guys that have done that and left it overnight, and all they did in the next morning was throw tinder on there and kindling,
mm-hmm.
and throw some more logs on there and blew on it, and it lit up just by itself.
Oh, yeah, it's hot.
It's really hot. So, but of course,
okay, mm-hmm.
along with... Any sort of water supply that you can boil on a fire, you can also
mm-hmm.
cook. So that is my wonderful segue over to food.
Good.
I worked long and hard on that one.
So, okay, so what can I eat? I'm hungry now.
Well,
and I'm going to be out here for, like, years because I'm Tom Hanks.
Well, you can eat plants. I mean, that's really your best source. You don't want to eat any mushrooms
mm-hmm.
unless you're a trained survival expert like a Navy SEAL or something.
Man, I could really go tripping out there. Yeah.
Yeah, they know they're mushrooms. But you don't. Well, you, Ratchet, might, but...
Yeah, I'm personally, no, I don't. I stay away from
mushrooms.
Unless you're
a registered mushroom expert, don't go eating mushrooms. A lot of people have tried that and...
We'll die.
...work out too well.
There are a lot of poisonous mushrooms out there.
Oh, yes. So, but like berries and stuff,
mm-hmm.
if you see a bear eating it, you're good to go. Because their digestive system is much like ours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's something I was unaware of.
Mm-hmm. As long as it's not a polar bear or a platypus, you can eat it for animal-wise. Because their vitamin A count is so high that it's lethal, and you can't cook vitamin A off.
Huh.
Other than that, if you cook something, you can eat it. Anything in the world.
Yeah.
So, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that's something I was unaware of.
It's polar bears and platypuses.
Both start with P, so just keep that in mind.
Yeah. So, but when you go to get animals or anything,
mm-hmm.
You want to check their liver, and if it's not, what is it, it's a brown, whitish color, then don't eat it. If it's spotted or anything, don't
mm-hmm.
eat it. It's got to be one solid, kind of creamy color.
Hmm. So wait, if it's white or if it's brown or if it's spotted?
Well, if it's spotted, don't eat it.
Oh, okay. So if it's white or it's brown.
If it's whitish brown, kind of a creamy whitish brown, you should be good.
All right.
But you don't want to eat the guts and the intestines and stuff
because mm-hmm.
they require special cooking. Okay. One of your major supplies of food is going to be insects.
Mm-hmm.
They are everywhere.
Mmm, tasty.
Oh, yes, they really are. And worms and earthworms, biggest
mm-hmm.
supply of protein you'll ever find. So, they're pretty good.
So all you vegetarians out there, actually, the worms are alive, so does that, I'm not sure if that's a vegetarian or not.
Well, with
who
the
knows?
Worms, the best way to do
mm-hmm.
it is to try and keep them up for 24 hours or boil them for 6 minutes. But if you got to eat them just straight, go for it.
And try not to throw up. Just picture yourself on Fear Factor. That's the name of the show? I think it is.
Yeah, it's Fear Factor.
Oh, okay.
The next thing is fish. You
mm-hmm.
can eat any type of saltwater fish raw.
Sushi!
Yeah.
Or sashimi, technically.
Yeah. So, sushi, sashimi, or whatever it is, go for it.
Just out of curiosity, does the Army Manual show you how to clean a fish?
No, it does not. I don't think so.
Oh, shucks. Well, try to figure it out, kids.
Yeah. What I'd always learned to do was to just cook it in the fish
mm-hmm.
and then just eat it out of the fish and try and stay away from the organs.
Hmm.
So.
Well, that's an idea.
Mm-hmm. With saltwater fish, you do have to cook them. So don't go trying eating saltwater fish raw just because I said you can eat saltwater fish raw. So test the water, see what it is first.
Okay.
Amphibians, like frogs.
So wait, okay, so I'm confused here. So saltwater is a no, but freshwater is a yes, or other way around?
Saltwater is a yes, freshwater is no.
Okay, I think you said saltwater twice, so I was confused.
Sorry, I'm kind of rushing because I see we're short on
time. No problem, no problem.
Okay. Along with amphibians, frogs, toads, anything like that,
mm-hmm.
any type of frog is good unless it has a distinctive X on its back, which is the only type of poisonous frog.
Can I, like, lick it and get, like, you know, have, like, wicked acid trips?
No, I think it kills you.
Damn it.
So.
I saw that on The Simpsons. It has to be true.
No. So, don't eat the frog with the X.
Big X. No. No.
Yeah.
It's nature's way of saying no. Don't eat me.
Yeah. But all other types of frogs are good. Don't eat toads at all. Most toads are poisonous. So stay away from toads. The best way to tell is where it was found, whether it was by water or found in your garden or something.
Hmm.
So, all snakes are edible if you cook them. So that covers reptiles. As well as birds. All birds are edible as well.
Hmm.
So,
This is quite interesting because I actually never knew there was actually all these rules about eating animals.
Oh, yeah.
But I never actually really thought about it that much because
And the liver is the best way to tell. Like I was talking about, if it's spotted, don't eat it. It's eating something and it's poisoned. So you don't want to eat anything like that. So that's basically that. We covered checking for diseases with the liver. The best way to get them is with traps or snares.
Mm-hmm.
So the side of the day will have a whole thing on traps and snares, and it's different things on squirrels, how to catch squirrels, which is basically going to be what you're going to be eating. Anything like that. It's got it's normally just loops, and then whatever animal walks through it or sticks a leg in it and sets off a trap or a bent stick that's an alive small tree or something that you can bend and it'll just pop right back up when it's set off on a trigger. So that's basically your biggest thing to get food is with snares like that. And it'll whip the animal around on the end of the string. Like with my survival kit, I've got weed ear cord because it's already rounded and everything. It's good to go. And you just tie some knots in there. And everybody should learn their knots.
Join the Boy Scouts. Learn your knots.
Yeah. And a lot of the different Boy Scout troop websites have just different stuff that you can learn knots on.
And, I mean, he was talking about Wilderness Survival Merit Badge Book at your local Boy Scout shop. If you're interested in learning a lot of this stuff, get a Boy Scout manual because, you know, despite all the things you'll see that are directly related to Boy Scouts, you'll find a lot of good information in there.
So that's that. Different weapons that you can build are essentially spears. If you've got a knife or anything like that, and you can make knives out of rocks. If you can break a rock in two, you're going to have the world's sharpest edge. And it's what they use in eye surgery, is a rock broken in half.
I thought they used glass in that.
Nah, glass isn't sharp enough.
Really?
They used to use glass, I think. But they break the rocks and make a knife out of the rocks because that's the sharpest thing they can get.
Caveman Oog the eye surgeon.
Absolutely. So that's a great thing that you can do there. If you can lash it onto the end of a pole or something, you've got a great spear. It's something you can fish with, too. This side of the week has some different traps and stuff you can use for fishing, but that spear is going to be your main weapon right there.
All right. Well, since we're talking about the side of the week, we'll brush by. We actually, you did awesome notes. I will give you that right there. But I think we covered about at least, I think we covered a quarter of all the stuff you put down. And I what did you estimate? You had like 30 minutes of information.
Yeah,
I don't
I got
think
a lot
so.
More than that.
But I think we covered the big three with, or we covered most of the basic stuff that how to
shelter,
actually get
water,
out there.
Fire, food.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff out there, and so I assume the site of the week here has all this.
It has most of it.
Okay.
And the site of the week is actually just a civilian version of the Army manual.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a easy to read type thing.
Yeah.
And the site of the week is www.wilderness-survival.net.
And I don't think we need to phonetic size that. So if you can't figure it out, look, go run it through spell check.
Yeah.
And there's a dash in between there?
Yes, there's a dash in between wilderness and survival. So it's wilderness-survival.net.
All right.
So.
So wow, I want to send that was a pretty cool topic, and I'm actually kind of disappointed we didn't cover a lot of the other stuff because it's handy stuff.
I mean, I got all the fun stuff at the end.
Yeah. Well, perhaps we'll have a Wilderness Survival 2 coming up in the future.
Hey, I'm all for it.
All right.
I'll do it. Was there something you wanted to say for NBC?
Oh yeah, so we actually you wanted to say something out here. So we Faceman actually suggested we have a Fuck Nut of the Week, which apparently they used to have way back in the days.
Yeah, back
and,
in RFA and early BinRev episodes. So
who's our Fuck Nut of the Week?
Our Fuck Nut of the Week is NBC for their wonderful special on LeetSpeak. And you can find it at YouTube with tinyurl.com/YX7FUJ.
Yankee X-Ray 7, Fox Uniform Juliet?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm just going off what I remember here, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was right. So.
Okay, good.
So, and that is a wonderful video if you really want a good laugh. So.
And we actually started talking about it on the BinRev forum. So for those of you who don't come to the forum site, come to forums.binrev.com, and the forum that we were talking about it in is links, L-I-N-K-Z. I almost said S. Silly me.
And that was brought up by Seal.
Yeah, so shout out to Seal.
Yeah. Let me add that.
Do you have any other shouts out for anybody?
I want to shout out to everybody.
Ooh,
yeah.
Just going to take the easy way out, eh?
Well, actually, I've got some other shouts. I want to shout out to Sticky. He's a friend of mine here in Alabama. And he's done a lot of the Wilderness and Boy Scout stuff with me. I also want to shout out to Connor. And I also want to shout out to Verbal and the mentorship program, where I am a proud mentee.
Mm-hmm.
And to my girlfriend, Lydia.
Oh, What's up with this man? Computer Geek has a girlfriend. Oh wait, I'm married. Never mind. See what I'm saying. Shouts out to. I'll send shouts out to everybody. I think the easy way out, just like you.
Yes. So.
Let's see. Actually, we have one announcement, and I think this kind of made me think of the topic tonight. Made me kind of think of it, Infonomicon is having a convention next year, so this is mark this one down on your calendars. It's not ready yet, and they're calling it HayCon, HayCon. And let me tiny URL because I can never spell Infonomicon correctly.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to tiny URL it for because everyone else is going to be like me. It's tinyurl.com/YXDZJ5 Yankee X-ray Delta Zulu Juliet 5.
And there's also a link to Infomonicon on the BinRev homepage.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you can go that way, too. But I don't think they actually directly link it to from their main site. So it's infonomicon.org/HayCon. And it's an outdoor computer convention. And they're going to go into the Puskas Lake in the Holly Springs National National Forest in Mississippi. Alabama, whatever the other two is.
Yeah. And I saw that earlier, and it looks like a lot of fun.
It does. Honestly, I've been talking to groups about it, and it sounds really awesome. And if you're anywhere within the Southeast United States, you should really go. And it's just a bit too far to come from New England to down there. I'm not going to fly to go camping. I can do it up here pretty well.
Yeah, wow.
So, shout out to groups, too.
Mm-hmm.
Email, radio@binrev.com.
And if can I fill out my email?
Oh, sure.
Okay, if anybody wants to flame me and make me feel like an honorary member of BinRev Radio, you can do so at lieutenantfaceman@gmail.com, and that's lt.faceman because Faceman was taken. So it's lt.faceman@gmail.com.
Okay. Yeah, so it wouldn't be Lieutenant Faceman. It would be lt.faceman.
Well, it's LT.
I guess it's a good abbreviation.
Yeah.
And props to anyone who actually gets that reference, because I did, and I felt pretty proud of myself. Closing music is Mega Man 3 Blue Balls by Sakoto 42 off of ocremix.org. And I think that's about it.
Okay.
So see you next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.